It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. Every Friday, Matt Pace from The Red Eye comes by, and we talk about films. Matt, I don't know if you heard, but Wendy and I were just talking about swearing. Wendy admitted that she will swear in front of her children. Her boys have heard her swear. But if the dog is in the room, she will not swear. She's very protective of the dog hearing swear words.
I know. It's
that is confusing to me.
It's a little confusing.
Welcome to my world.
But if I may, I want to bring this into the movie realm for just a little bit with you. When you were a kid, was there any restriction on movies if there was swearing in them? Were you allowed to see a movie if there were swear words involved?
I don't recall the language being an issue.
Yeah.
I think the ratings board probably makes a little bit too big of a deal out of that aspect of it. So I don't think that was a problem.
It's really weird the way the ratings work in terms of sex and violence. For instance, they're much more willing to give a movie an R rating if there's a lot of sex in it, but for some reason, violence is fine. Swearing, they've really let up on a lot in the last decade. It used to be if there was a certain amount of swearing, you were guaranteed an R rating, and now it's not that way at all anymore. I've seen PG-13 movies with quite a bit of swearing in them.
Yeah, I think they're the most skittish about sex and nudity, for sure, which is a shame, because I think most parents would probably say that they worry about the impact of violence on screen a lot more.
Yep.
I am bothered by sexual content in a movie more so than the language. I really am, because they have heard it. And violence, I mean, I cannot believe these video games.
Right.
It's unreal. Yeah. It's like really shooting
as graphic as can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a report, I can't remember who did it, but about a year and a half ago, they did a thing about how not only does violence sell in movies, but if you look at movie posters, they found that if the same movie is advertised with a guy carrying a gun or without a gun or a rifle, people will flock to the one that has the gun or the rifle.
Really?
It just represents action to them.
Well, for obvious reasons, I think some people's perceptions of what they see on screen is changing, and you can't just take certain images to be laughable or fun anymore, and you shouldn't. I mean, The Watch, that terrible movie with Vince Vaughn and a few other guys, comes to mind, where Jonah Hill's character has a huge arsenal of weapons under his bed, and the reveal of that is supposed to be showing that he's, cool
or something? Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that obviously
did people laugh at that part of the movie?
I mean, no one really laughed at any part of that movie. But that in particular really left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I can understand why. And that was the one that got held up a little bit because of the Trayvon Martin story, right?
Right. The original title was Neighborhood Watch, and they changed it to The Watch.
And I just asked you, because it always baffles me, there's so many movies that when there's violence, I just asked you this either last week or the week before, there's always somebody in the theater when something is grotesque and awful happens, somebody will get shot or blown up or something, you'll get some guy who just laughs hysterically at that, and I never understand it.
Yeah, hooting and hollering in general is something that should probably be reserved for comedies.
Yes, you would think.
Yeah, but before all these terrible things started happening in our real world, really, you weren't at a showing of some picture where somebody gets shot or blown up with a rocket and everyone's like, yeah. I mean, times have changed. Unfortunately, these things are really happening.
Right.
But before that, I recall people really hooting and hollering when things happened.
I don't remember
a bad
it
guy
being
gets blown
bad.
Up or something.
Yeah, I can see that. But you know what I mean? Like, there'll just be some plot point where there's some violent act, and you just go, well, that's not funny in any way. But there's always going to be a handful of people who find it very, very funny.
True. But I mean, I agree with Wendy that if you look back at some of the over-the-top action movies of like the 80s or the 90s.
It happened back then.
I think people definitely found, and a lot of those were just sort of goofy and you don't take them seriously, so they were a lot more fun at the time. But they don't make stuff like that much anymore anyway.
It's all too real.
I won't go into great detail. I've told the story before. There's a movie, 10, 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, The Monster's Ball. This is with Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry.
Yep.
It's a fantastic film. It's very, very sad, and there's some awful, awful things that go on in this movie, but well worth seeing. There were two women next to my wife and I at the theater who laughed all through the movie.
Really?
And at some point I turned and I go, are you watching the same movie we're watching? And she goes, it's funny. You don't think this is funny? And I go, no, there's
bizarre.
Nothing funny about this movie.
Were they sober?
Yeah,
that's
they
weird.
Were sober and found Monsters Ball to be the funniest film of the summer.
Everyone has their own opinion, but there are some cases where people are just pretty off
in
the way that
off,
they take things.
Way off. Let's talk about what is opening this weekend. Number one, this is 12 Years a Slave is a movie I've heard nothing but phenomenal things about. Let's go into some detail on this movie. First of all, what did you think of it, Matt, 12 Years
a
Slave?
I loved it. This is a case where everyone is raving, and the movie totally deserves it. Last few weeks, we've been trending upwards with Gravity and then Captain Phillips and now 12 Years a Slave, which is finally a movie that actually deserves to be called great.
This is the story of an African-American living in the northern part of the United States that's somehow brought down to the South and forced into slavery.
Correct.
Right?
It's based on a true story. His name was Solomon Northup, 1841, living in New York, free man, wife and two kids, and he's kidnapped and brought down South. And as the title reveals, he becomes a slave for a very long time.
Is this based on a true story?
Yeah.
Really?
Based on a true story.
In fact, he wrote a book that was published in 1853. That's where the movie comes from.
Yeah. When Django Unchained came out a little over a year ago, there were a lot of controversies about the film. You're already aware of that. Are there similar controversies with 12 Years a Slave?
There are not. I think the differences between this and Django certainly are, incredibly obvious for anyone who sees both movies. 12 Years a Slave treats its subject matter fairly. It's not going for comic relief. It doesn't give you a chance to detach from the material or not take it seriously in any way. Some people criticize director Steve McQueen, who also did Hunger and Shame, both starred Michael Fassbender, who was phenomenal in a supporting role in 12 Years a Slave. And some have criticized him for his long takes, thinking those are a little bit self-indulgent or kind of a filmmaker showing off.
Do me a favor, before you continue this, explain what that means by long take, because if people don't know, describe what
that
means.
That's where when you're watching a scene and it goes on for a minute, 2 minutes, whatever it may be, without cutting away. It's all...
Camera lingers a bit.
Exactly, and in this case, I don't find that... I rarely find it showing off. I think it often adds a lot of intimacy to a film, and especially in this case, where there can be a tendency to back away from the material, be afraid of really upsetting viewers, that kind of thing. This is difficult material that is part of all of our history, and I really appreciate the fact that McQueen doesn't shy away from it, and the long takes work to capture the horror as it happens.
Yeah.
I got to see that.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal.
I have to see that.
I don't know anyone who's seen it who hasn't said glowing things about it. Michael Fassbender is one of those guys that almost came out of nowhere, too. He's an actor I think most of us 5 years ago had no idea who he is, and then in the last few years, he's been in some really good things.
He's great, and he's one of the few people. There are plenty of great actors out there, but he is one of the few people that I think is unbelievably convincing in everything. But the real star here, of course, is Chiwetel Ejiofor, who plays Salma Northup. Maybe not household name right now. I think people may have seen him in something here and there, but a lot of people are talking about Oscar nominations for many people in the cast here. It's going to be a huge awards contender, but there are a lot of times, especially last year, where big awards contenders are actually not that good.
Yeah.
This is not the case with 12 Years a Slave. It is so good.
Matt Pace is here. You can read him in the Chicago Red Eye, where he's been the movie critic for 8 years. Is
correct.
That how long? Yeah. We'll come back and talk more about films with Matt if you want to jump in. We're at 312-981-7200 on the phone lines, or 24/7/20 if you want to text us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, it's Matt Pace from the Red Eye, and it's incredibly majestic music.
What is this?
This beautiful music, Wendy, that's all.
Hey, Matt Pace, you know who was in the studio with us yesterday?
Who?
David Lynch's daughter, Jennifer Lynch.
Oh, talk about her film festival movie.
She's got it from the film, Chicago
the
Film Festival.
And there's another viewing again tonight, a documentary of her in India. Interesting, and I would love to see that.
We brought up with her the fact that I'm sure you're well steeped in David Lynch's films. Mm-hmm. They're always entertaining. They're always a little bit left of center. They're very
twisted.
They're very twisted, and she has that same kind of a flavor. You could see is certainly where she gets it from.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
I thought Despite the Gods was okay. It's everyone likes to see a train wreck, and the movie's a documentary about her trying to make a movie and
in
mostly
India.
Failing.
Yeah.
The documentary is not great, and it seems like the movie turned out terribly, but it's kind of entertaining.
What did you see at the Chicago Film Festival? People have to understand that these are films that aren't really in general release right now, but they will be later on more times than not. What did you see that we should look forward to?
Oh boy. Well, the fest ends next week, so a lot of the good stuff that I saw is over.
Is it?
The first one that comes to mind is something that opens in a few weeks, but it's called Blue is the Warmest Color, which is quite graphic. It won the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival. And we'll have a lot of people, going back to what we were talking about earlier, wondering if all the sexuality in it is gratuitous. And I absolutely felt that it was not. It's an epic 3-hour love story that deserves to be taken seriously.
Really?
There's a couple of films that have already been made but aren't in general release yet with that kind of a theme going, where they say the sexuality we're bringing to the screen actually happened. It's not just actors pretending that they were having sex. We really went for it in this movie. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, as everyone knows, many people in America can be a little bit more skittish about that sort
of
thing than they can in other countries. So it's not surprising to see something like this coming from France or somewhere else, whereas this doesn't come along very often. In fact, Steve McQueen, director of 12 Years a Slave, made Shame. Michael Fassbender should have won an Oscar for that. He wasn't even nominated because he got the NC-17 rating, and that is just something that
Is the Steve McQueen you speak of, is he Steve McQueen's son or any relation to the actor Steve McQueen?
No relation.
None at all.
I thought it was
Steve McQueen, and then I realized he's dead.
He's gone.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. That's all right. You read my thought bubble.
Oh, I just wanted to clear it up. They have remade Carrie, which is a Brian De Palma film from, what is it, 30
76.
Years? Yeah.
A fantastic
a
Brian
really,
De
really
Palma
good.
Film.
You think so?
With Sissy Spacek.
You didn't like
Why
it?
Do you think it's fantastic?
Because it hit on many levels. It was, I just felt like it told the tale. It didn't need to be redone.
Have you seen it recently?
No,
I did. I saw it almost two years ago. Yeah, for me it did. I thought it was really, because it's still, I mean, you know where all the jump scenes are now, and there's one toward the end. It's one of the most famous in history.
Right.
The flower scene. It still does kind of jolt you. It still does kind of have those jolts. It didn't do that for you?
I disagree. I mean, admittedly, I find it difficult to put myself in the mindset of what it was like watching this for the first time when it came out originally. Mm-hmm. I was not born at the time, admittedly.
See, that's the difference. That's why I often say, why do they redo a movie? They did for Matt Pace.
Yeah.
They did it for him because we had our original Carrie, and it's not standing up to
you. But even still,
I
don't think the original holds up at all.
No?
And especially when people see this new one that is such a better executed horror movie and a better teen drama, too. I mean, there's most horror movies stink, in my opinion, actually. They're not scary, and they really don't have much of a story.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually does work as a story that you get invested in. I think people will be able to relate to a lot of it.
Really?
Maybe not the telekinetic powers aspect, but a lot of other stuff.
I do have to say this. Now, I've not seen it yet. You obviously have. Wendy and I have not. The girl who plays the lead in this is an actress named Chloe Grace Moretz.
Right.
Who I've seen in several other things. She is a force to be reckoned with. This is a girl who's going to be doing great movies for years.
Absolutely, and it feels like she's been around for a long time already.
Yeah.
She's 16 now. People may know her from the Kick-Ass films and Hugo.
Let Them In.
Let Me In, yeah.
Let Me In.
Which, that was a remake that should not have been made.
No, you didn't know anything.
No, I really liked Let the Right One In. But
the
I thought,
Swedish vampire
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, but I thought Let Me In was a very poor remake.
Yeah.
I hope people give the new Carrie a chance. I'm surprised to hear so much outpouring of love for the original. I think it's quite tone deaf.
It's what we know, though.
It's the standard for the story. Because, you know, they remade it a couple of years ago. They did a TV-made movie of Carrie as well, which wasn't very strong.
Sure.
Oh, I did see that.
This new film is actually taken more from the book than necessarily a remake of the 76 film. So I much, much prefer the new version. And it's done by Kimberly Pierce, who directed Boys Don't Cry. You can assume automatically has a lot more personality than the usual.
Right.
Now I have to see it just
remake.
To compare and contrast,
yeah,
don't you?
I think you may be surprised.
All right. We'll take you up on that. Escape Plan. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is, who else is in this?
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, boy.
And
showing that they haven't aged a bit.
Right. They're the same young, sprightly action heroes that we've grown to know and love.
In fact, if people have never seen a Schwarzenegger or Stallone movie, somehow they will think that this is their first movie and they paid their way in somehow. It looks like these guys have never acted before. They look tired. They look like they don't care. This movie is
atrocious. Is it
subtitled?
Because a lot of times when these guys talk, you can't understand them. So can you understand any of the dialogue?
Unfortunately, I could understand.
Oh, you
them.
Could. That's bad.
There's one line when Stallone, who's this guy who's hired to go into prison and find their weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
and when he gets to this maximum security prison and Schwarzenegger's there, Schwarzenegger's like trying to become friends with him. He says, "You look like a guy who finds things interesting."
Oh,
just
what's,
like
what's
that
the problem
is
with that?
For dialogue at this point. That's what you're building your friendship off of?
Yeah.
Did I write this in my sleep?
No. This is
I
legit. Why this all of a sudden? Well, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, because now we've seen it a couple of times. They keep taking the old action heroes of a decade or two decades ago and packaging them together. Is that something? Is there a big outcry for that? Do we want a lot of that?
It seems like it. I feel like there are probably 10 more Expendables movies on the way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because those types of movies don't really get made anymore, so the only option if those guys want to keep working is banding together, and people like that nostalgic stuff.
The Red movies are kind of like that too. They do that.
Ooh,
same
but those
thing.
Are so bad. Those have, I think a lot of it is the difference in tone, in that the Expendables movies are not, they're really just trying to have fun and kind of winking at the audience a little bit. I think Red is totally off base, where they're winking at the violence and having too much fun with that.
And what is Red? Sorry.
That's Bruce Willis,
Helen Mirren, John Malkovich.
Right.
Oh, those are really bad. The expendable stuff is just very disposable and kind of a laugh.
Matt Pace can be read in the Red Eye. He's been the film critic there for 8 years. He does not like the original Carrie, so do not call him and ask him, because he will not tell you good things about it. Not even a little bit.
No, not really.
Not even Piper Laurie going, they're all going to laugh at you over and over and over.
I find her way extreme in that role.
See, times were different when we were growing up.
It was a simpler time.
It shocks me that there were Oscar nominations for that. And again, at the time, I'm sure it played very differently, and I know that opinion will take, you know, strike some as absurd. But
I am going to, every time now I see pig blood, I'm going to think about you, Matt. I'm going to think
I appreciate
about,
that, Bill. That means a lot.
They did get a new pig for the blood in this new movie, though.
Yes, so. It's an all-new pig and all-new pig blood. read Matt Pace. He's in the Red Eye. It's WGN.